Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to another edition of Can We Talk Fridays. I am your host, Raz Williams, bringing you this powerful show every Friday from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Can We Talk people is, you know who we are, you know what we do. We, ladies and gentlemen, we keep it real, we keep it relevant, and more importantly, we keep it godly. Anytime you and I are going through the storms of life, when we place and fix our eyes to the problem, to the mountain, to the financial hardships, to the sickness, to the unemployment, to the situation that we're going through, what we experience is the stress. You will go through the stress when you fix your eyes upon the problem, because the devil will always magnify the problem until you become so distressed. And then when you look into yourself and your inability to solve the problem, i.e. pay the bills, heal yourself, break through and break forth, and because you are not looking unto Jesus, but you're looking unto your own strength and your own wisdom and your own abilities. However, If you face your eyes, not on the problem, not on your own ability, but on the Lord Jesus Christ, for the psalmist says, I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. You don't know how you're going to settle your mortgage. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. You don't know how you're going to take care of your family, pay your car note, and so on. But if you fix your eyes, your gaze, your confidence upon our Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you rest. Don't be distressed, don't be depressed, but find rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling us tonight, people. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is always rest in Jesus. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known before God. Be anxious for nothing. Well, the doctors have given me a bad report. Be anxious for nothing. You've lost your job. Be anxious for nothing. You can't pay your mortgage. Your family situation is jacked up. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication. That's my comment. Guys, if you have a question or comment, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you may email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. That's canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Again, tonight's going to be a really incredible show tonight. I'm really looking forward to it. We have a great panel. And we also have a special guest who I respect a great deal. His name is Minister Edmonds, also known as Dr. J. If you guys ever seen the movie, The Book of Eli, it is said that Minister Edmonds is like you know Denzel in the movie. He knows the Bible inside out from the top of his head. So it's you guys are gonna really enjoy him tonight. And I want to go ahead and introduce my co-host for this evening. We have Nick in the building. Nicky, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Raz. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely, Nicky. Nicky, what do you think of last week's show?
I think it was good. I think it was powerful. you know, necessary dealing with the haters and how to deal with them, how to have a Christian response in dealing with them.
Absolutely.
I think it was relevant.
Absolutely, Nikki. Good to have you back on Can We Talk. And I think next we have Pam on the line. Pam, how you doing, ma'am?
Hi, I'm blessed, Raz. Thank you for having me back, too, as well.
Absolutely, Pam. Pam, you on last week's show. What do you think of last week's show?
I think it was enlightening for, especially for the callers that called in. They had some really good comments. I think it was good for us to share our experiences and how the Lord has built us up into handling situations of the topic, which was about haters. Again, we pointed out Joseph and how he managed to go through everything that he went through, but still came out on top. And it's just an awesome thing when, you know, Satan means for your evil, means, but then it all turns out for your good. So that's what we covered a lot of last week about haters, that sometimes it's not always bad, but it can always work out for your good too as well. It's just how you respond. Are you mature enough to respond to go through the tests and trials and come out victoriously?
Absolutely. Next, we have Ronnie Ambrose back in effect. Ronnie, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Raz.
Good, Ronnie, man. Ronnie, I actually haven't introduced the topic of today's show, and I will do it in a second, but what do you think of last week's show?
Last week's show was good. I had fun, and getting all the perspectives on how people, you know, combat or deal with haters and, you know, learning the degree of haters from in your social, personal life to the, you know, attackers of your faith. And so, you know, it was good to share. I hope that for anyone who listens to it, they can use some of our insight and some of what the Holy Spirit was leading us to share, you know, to their advantage.
Absolutely. Now, next, guys, I told you we have a special guest. Anything can happen, and we've got Minister Edmonds on the line for the very first time on Can We Talk. Minister Edmonds, good to have you on Can We Talk, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here with you.
Absolutely. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show, Minister Edmonds. And Minister Edmonds, if you don't mind, can you just give us a brief synopsis of I know you've been in ministry for many years. You've also taught in the school of ministry for many years as well. But you, more importantly, you've devoted your life to Jesus, to the cause of, you know, preaching the gospel around the world. And you are a husband, a father. And but if you don't mind, Minister Edmonds, if you can, you know, let everyone know who you are and just a brief, you know, synopsis of your history.
Well, I'm Dr. J. Edmonds, and as you say, I've been in ministry for over 40 years. I started preaching at an early age, and then I attended the University of Tennessee at Nashville for my undergrad work in divinity, and then my master's from Vanderbilt University and my doctorate from Vanderbilt University as well in Nashville. And taught at Harvard School of Ministry and also through Fuller Theological Seminary. Beyond all of that, I'm dedicated to do the best I can to cause understanding to the people of God and to preach the ministry of reconciliation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, guys, you know, let's get this going with the show. We also might have another special guest later on in the show today by the name of Pastor Caesar, who is a Hispanic pastor who oversees a number of churches in the Hispanic community, also throughout California and also South America. And so we're going to hear from possibly Pastor tonight about ministering the gospel in South America. And I want to look at carefully the last words of Jesus who spoke to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, only moments before he ascended into heaven. Jesus had commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations. But he told them not to leave Jerusalem until they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus tell them this? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the third person of the Godhead, and of course, what Jesus was to the disciples when he was here on the earth, the Holy Spirit is to us now in our lives. He is the comfort, he is the aid, he is the strength and the support that each of us need daily to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord and to help us to deal with the many issues and the problems we are facing today. So, guys, today's topic is titled The Reality of the Power of the Holy Spirit. Well, guys, it's time for the news. I'll start with you, Ronnie. What do we have going on in the world today, Ronnie?
Okay. Well, you know me, I'm always looking at these court cases against people exercising their constitutional right, you know, to have freedom of religion, you know, if you want to call it that. But that's being under attack. And so, once again, in our nation, we have a group called it's a nationalist human organization, and they filed a lawsuit against a school in Missouri over a high school teacher who is accused of leading a weekly devotional and prayer meeting in her classroom. That's the accusation. Now, this is the group, the American Humanist Association. They filed a suit this Wednesday asserting that Lafayette High School and math teacher are violating the established clause of the United States Constitution. And so it goes on to say the clause states that the Congress shall make no respecting establishment. It says the Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And so that's the clause of the Constitution, that the Congress or the state or the government cannot impose religion on you, but the Congress or the state cannot prohibit your practicing what you believe as well. And that's the part that keeps getting left out. But on with this article, it says, the matter stems from a complaint lodged earlier this year from a student at the school who is a member of the AHA, the Humanistic Association. The student informed the group that the teacher had been leading a voluntary devotional and prayer gathering each week before first period, but after the school opened for the day. You know, the former principal was reported also as announcing the gathering over the intercom. And so the lawsuit was filed, and they sent it to they sent a letter to the superintendent and to the president, you know, of the school district, demanding that the prayers cease. And so here's a few quotes from the accusers. They're saying, during the sessions, the teacher leads the students in prayer and often serves them breakfast. This practice has been ongoing for at least a year. The letter outlined, non-participating students can see and hear the teacher praying with the students as they walk by her classroom, which is close to the school entrance. And it goes on to say that it alleged that the teacher told the students on several occasions that God would punish those who aren't good. And so they go on to say that the teacher simply cannot practice or participate in prayers with the students at the school, nor can they promote their religious beliefs in any other way to their students, the organization asserts, the AHA. This is their claim against them. And they're saying that it's the school's decision to promote and affiliate itself with Christianity that is unconstitutional. The school has endorsed the religious message of prayer by permitting a teacher to deliver them to the students at school. And so that's the AHA, that's their complaint against the school, saying that the school is forcing religion on the kids because they're allowing the teacher to pray with the students. But if you keep reading the article, you'll see that there's testimony from the students that go there. And here's one that says, I'm a student at the high school, and half of this information is false. The student's identified as Lizzie. She left this comment on a website, and her comment goes to say, the teacher was not the one leading the devotional prayers, it was the students. And it wasn't the principal who announced that Friday's devotions were starting, it was a student member of the club that announced it. And so they went forward and filed this suit this past Wednesday, but the school is standing their ground and they're not kicking the teacher out and they're not coming against the students. They're holding their ground because the lawsuit is probably not a strong case, because if you listen to this article, you see that the teacher was starting the devotionals before class, and you get further information to find out that it's the students practicing their will and not the teacher imposing her beliefs on anybody else. And so, you know, I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, that the separation of church and state does not prohibit the individuals anywhere on this earth, whether it be in a government building or not. You have the free right to pray, to go over scripture, to speak life into your school campus or your job site, all you want. The separation of church and state does not prohibit you from exercising the power of the Holy Spirit wherever you may be. And so, you know, that's just, here in this article I see that we're getting a glimpse at the school standing their ground because they know that they're not violating the constitutional laws. And so, you know, I just want to pass this article around for insight or opinion to the panel. So I'll start with you, Pam, if you had anything to say about this article.
I'm just overwhelmed with all the stuff that's coming out right now dealing with restrictions. It seems like society, everybody that's anti-God, anti-Christ, are putting so many restrictions on Christians. It's like they're focusing on persecuting, you know, doing away with anything that glorifies God or gives God an opportunity to shine. And this is just another example of what the New World Order and new system is trying to do. You know, it's really sad. I mean, even I was reading an article with parents. You know, they were outraged of scanning devices being put into the lunchrooms for the kids. So what you're reading and a lot of the stuff that we're seeing right now, it's just definitely signs of the end times.
Raz, you want to add anything to that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that definitely was a good article, Ronnie. And you know, there's a reason why they remove prayer from schools, and because, you know, the devil hates prayer. The devil hates prayer because God works through prayer, and you know, we have you know, promises in the Bible that God said that, you know, whatsoever you bind in heaven, I'll bind here on earth, and whatever you loose in heaven, I will loose here on earth. So there's promises in, that God operates through prayer, and so, you know, anything that will anything the enemy can do to stop the power of God from flowing through, and to anything that he can do that will remove God's power from hindering his plans, of course he's going to do. So it's no surprise that, you know, that this stuff is happening. Are you there? Okay, yeah, that's my comment.
Okay. Pastor Jay?
Well, I think that anytime there is a promulgation of the gospel, or there is a leaning toward embracing the tenets of the reality of Christ in prayer or word or stay, there is going to be opposition. And sometimes it's wrapped or cloaked, I would say, into certain laws and governmental standards. But I think they must be very careful as to not make any sort of stand on that type of ground, because they're making a stand on very uncertain ground, and it's sure to fall from under them. The right to practice one's religious belief is an inalienable right, and it is separated from any laws, any legislation that may be constructed for the purpose of impeding that right. However, there is at this time a tendency on the part of those who are humanists to oppose Christianity on the ground that it should not be the only religious branch that is promulgated. So they will cry out, well, if there's prayer in school from a religious standpoint that leans towards Christianity, let there also be equality with Islam or Hinduism or any other religion. And it is just a tool that has been shaped for the purpose of an attempt to nullify or water down or void out the importance of the message of the gospel of Christ, knowing that if there is opposition, there will be those who perhaps would cease from their attempt to proselytize. And this is all a ploy of the enemy, because we as Christians understand that we're dealing with forces that are outside of the scope of physicality. And we know that these spirits are spirits that have opposed not only God, but Christ before the foundation of the world and into the structure that we have now as far as humanity is concerned and the relationship that is there between man and God. And so we don't think it's strange to happen. More legislation will come as we go further into this culmination of all things. We're going to see how the Antichrist is going to construct very witty legislation to circumvent that inalienable right to worship and to practice one's religion. So I don't think it's strange for anything like that to happen. I think that any group of people, be it students or otherwise, has the right to form a group, a Christian group or a club or whatever they would like to title it, and hold prayer or what have you, as long as it does not infringe upon any other person's rights. They're well within their zone of acceptability when it comes down to the legal aspect of it.
Actually, I think we lost Nikki, Ronnie. I think she probably called.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just thank everyone on the panel for their insight. And Raz, you got anything to add news-wise?
I think, no, that's pretty much it. I think, Pam, did you have an article you wanted to share today?
No, it was just a short article on, parents being outraged over palm scanning devices in, I don't even know this, I've never heard of this city, it's Polia, Puyallup, Washington, and they were just saying in it that the school district says by the end of the year, every lunchroom will have palm scanning devices that will allow students to pay for their lunch with a wave of a hand. Efficiency is another reason for implementing this, and the accuracy of the scanner reduces human error. And again, I think it's just another ploy to bring in martial law and control. And I think it's just a setup for the Antichrist to come in and, you know, have access to everything and everybody. But that's all. It was just a short little article.
Absolutely. Well, guys, listen, if you're tuning in for the first time, the title of today's topic is The Reality of the Power of the Holy Spirit. And we have a special guest on the show tonight. He goes by the name of Minister Jay Edmonds, a very powerful man of God. And Minister Jay, if you don't mind, I want to kind of like, you know, give you the floor for a few minutes, if you will. And I wanted to ask you, Minister Jay, who is the Holy Spirit?
Well, I'm glad you said who, because in a lot of cases, there are those who utilize the pronoun it, refer to him as someone other than a person. And the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as we would call in Old English, is a person. And he is God manifested in a form that is able to transcend our physicality and really indwell or affect who we really are as people. In other words, who we are is not this body. This body is just the motivation to get around on this planet. That's it. But who we are is the very essence of the Logos, the word, the matter, the essence, the thing. And as I'm speaking and as you all were speaking, I was introduced to you by you introducing yourself as yourself. In other words, I'm coming out now. You can't see me, but this is me, because we are spirit. We are made up of the ruach, or the breath of God, or the pneuma, that which is breath or living wind. As it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God created man from the dust of the ground, and then he blew into the nostrils of man the breath of life, the ruach, and man became a living soul. So that's who we are. So therefore, the Holy Spirit, God arranged himself to be able to dwell within his human creation in that same form that is not seen. And the Holy Spirit is I call him the MVP. He's the mind, voice, and power of God. The mind, voice, and power of God. So he is God, and God gives himself to us to know him and to know how he thinks. And so by the Holy Spirit, we are empowered and given this great opportunity and potential to become as God, meaning that we can have the mind of God by emulating the things that are taught to us by the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth, so he teaches us truth. After all, biblical scripture is the standard by which all other truth claims must be tested. And so he gives us the ability to know what truth is. Truth is knowledge and information given by God for the purpose of dismantling supposition and erroneous thinking. But there has to be a standard. And so God gives us the standard, and he gives us the ability to do three things: to know, to understand what we know, and to have wisdom to utilize what we know and understand. And those things pertain to the matters set forth by God within us. So the Holy Spirit also gives us the ability to be identified with God. In other words, let's look at the descriptive part of that. Holy, Holy Spirit. The Greek word is hagios, which means made distant, set apart, separated. And so we become made distant from things that are contrary to the way of God's processing of thoughts and situations. And we began to now become conformed to the image of God through his Son, since his Son is actually God manifested in the flesh, according to John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh. And the Holy Spirit transforms us. And therefore, the term that was used in the old English was born again. He transforms us and makes us and molds us and shapes us into the cognitive aspects which are so vital with God, how he thinks without limitation. In other words, it's just as when God created the heavens and the earth, and he wanted there to be a sun, and he spoke it into existence. No one had ever seen a sun before. He had no model to go by. But it was painted on the canvas of his imagination, and he spoke it, and it appeared. So the same thing, without limitation, is sort of conveyed to us by the Holy Spirit and gives us the opportunity to understand the breadth and the width and the height of the limitedness and impossibilities that are in God, so that we can aspire to become like him as his Son, as an example, and know that we can do things that he does, powered or empowered by the Holy Spirit. And lastly, I will say, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be identified with God without the Holy Spirit. And it's as if someone places a spirit of a frog in a man, he will hop. Place a spirit of a cow in a man, and he will move. The spirit of a dog, he will bark. Place the spirit of God in a man, and he should act like God. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is. That's what he does. He reveals the truth of God to us. He lets us know what is in the mind of God. He reveals the power of God to us, not just to reveal it for us to understand it, but to utilize it actively, the exousia and dunamis, the authority and privilege. And he also sets forth an auditory spiritual standard where we can hear his voice. And so that is, without having the Holy Spirit, we can do none of that, to be even identified with God. And so that's who he is. Without him, one cannot be a Christian, meaning that receiving Christ, associated with Christ, and linked in with God as to his plan and purpose. That's who he is. He's vital. He is so vital that every sin a man can commit would be forgiven, but if someone blasphemes against him, that sin will never be forgiven. That's how vital he is. That's how important he is. So that's who he is.
Wow. Absolutely, Ms. Edmonds. That's a good point. Well, you know, regretfully, because of the apostasy, people are not allowing the Holy Spirit to have preeminence. And, you know, as we discussed earlier on, Jesus left us, but he didn't leave us without any help, and we have the Holy Spirit. Now, we need the Holy Spirit, like Minister Edmonds just mentioned, to defeat the enemy, to overcome the things that will bombard us and shake this world. And one of the greatest gifts of the Holy Spirit is for him to give us insight to see things in a very more and clear way. And I'm sure there are people listening to the show tonight who think that what we're talking about is not that important. But the natural man, the carnal man, the man that has not been born again, where the Spirit of God does not dwell in him, he cannot receive the things of the Spirit, but are foolishness to him. And that's why in these end times we're going to need the Holy Spirit to counteract the evil that is going to be coming upon the face of this earth like a flood. In our previous shows on spiritual warfare, for those of you who didn't get a chance to listen to it, go ahead and check it out on the archives. And we discussed that there's another world, a spiritual reality that is more real than the human experience that we experience today. And we look through our eyes and think that we are looking at everything in the space that we're viewing, but we're not. We're in fact looking at a tiny, tiny frequency range called visible light. To be precise, it's ultraviolet and infrared, and that's those of you who are science buffs, you can research that. And we also only hear a limited decibel range, so we think reality is what we can only proportion through our limited five sense reality. Reality is so much more than this. It's a spiritual. There's a spiritual realm that exists and operates out of human sight with very real enemies that wage war against us nonstop. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to access the spirit realm and have victory. And I wanted to open that comment to the panel, and I'll first start with you, Dr. J.
As it relates to, with more specificity.
I just mentioned that there's definitely people not allowing the Holy Spirit to have preeminence in their lives today. And, the church does appear to be powerless, but we definitely do need the Holy Spirit more than ever now because of what's going to come upon the earth, what is on the earth right now. There is so much evil and so much spiritual warfare that in order for us to be able to discern what that is, the Holy Spirit has to lead us in and reveal to us the truth behind these things. So I wanted to ask you, what's your take on that?
Oh, for certain, because the Holy Spirit is arranging what is called a spiritual metamorphosis within us. The enemy has been very diligent in piercing through this dimension and manifesting himself along with the other fallen angels and those who are within the kingdom of darkness. And they conduct warfare from a spiritual standpoint. And there is no way that those who are in the flesh, meaning thinking in the flesh, that means placing limitations on themselves, can wage war, or combat in this type of adversarial exchange. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. As the Apostle Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's prophecy, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations. And so this dispensation of time that we're in now is where the enemy has set up his images so that life can imitate art. And the art is what I call satanic inducements that are so blatant, but yet because of apathy, people are accepting that type of imagery as being normality and also emulating that. So the Holy Spirit gives us insight as to this ploy. We cannot fight in the natural. There is no way we can defeat our foes, Satan and his angels and those who are anti-God and anti-Christ in the spirit realm. When we refer to a lot of times anti-Christ, we only think of perhaps those who are in the flesh who are anti-Christ. But the scripture speaks of the spirit of the Antichrist, which is a very old spirit. And he is against God. He is opposed to God because of pride and because of feeling neglected. And so this anti-spirit is setting in place a what I call a imagery for others to discount the power of God. And the Holy Spirit, what he does is validate the power of God. And so these spirits, as they break through to this dimension, the Holy Spirit is metamorphosizing us to be able to use the word and to speak with power, to command with our words in Jesus' name, to be able to fight these adversaries, these foes, because in the natural we cannot do it. Satan knows all 66 books of the Bible. He knows the Bible from Genesis to Maps. He knows totally what is going on relative to the plan of God as it relates to his human creation. And he is here to kill, steal, and destroy and stop anything that is associated with God through Christ. God has set us up as spiritual warriors. Number one, he gives us the ability to understand how to use the weaponry that he's given us by the Holy Spirit. It was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus cast out demons. It was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus did that which was outside of the scope of normality. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He turned water into wine. He did that through the Holy Spirit. The scripture says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. The scripture says that he was validated by God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. That same Spirit God has given to us. And sometimes I don't even feel worthy because I'm not worthy, but he loves us so much that he's equipping us to do battle, to fight this battle that Satan is waging. And without the Holy Spirit, we can't fight. We can't even use what has been given to us. The Apostle Paul, and I'll say this, and I'll truncate my answer. I'll try to. The Apostle Paul stated to the church at Ephesus, after he had said all of those glorious things, he came to this point, he said, in chapter 6, verse 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren," that means in conclusion,
be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, therefore, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in that evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, having your loins girt about with truth.
Hello?
He goes into
Hello?
Everything that we need as armor. And the Holy Spirit teaches us how to utilize that armor.
Absolutely. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to introduce for the first time Pastor Caesar. I believe he's on the line. Well, I guess not. All right. Okay. I'm going to go to you, Ronnie. Ronnie, you there?
Yeah.
Ronnie, okay, same
Hello?
Question that Minister Edmonds. Ronnie, yes, we can hear you. Same question that I posed to Minister Edmonds. Wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts about the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to being able to wage war in the heavenlies and the spirit realm in the, against the unseen forces?
Oh, okay. Well, it's absolutely mandatory. There's no victory for a living soul apart from the Holy Spirit. And so as Minister Jay said, in Ephesians we're told that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, that we're absolutely going against powers, rulers, authorities, and principles in the unseen world, rulers of the darkness of this world, and you cannot combat them, you can't discern them, you have no help from them apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to the Savior, is a helper sent by God. And, you know, as it was said earlier, the Holy Spirit is not just a force or a feeling. It's actually deity and part of the Godhead. Apart from the Holy Spirit dwelling with you and being in your life, you don't have the power to stand against the deception or the level of deception that the devil is operating on. And so it's absolutely important. That's your shield. That's your sword, you know. That's you. That's where you get your commands from. And apart from the Holy Spirit, you cannot attempt to wage spiritual war. And there's a spirit of disobedience that you get from just associating yourself with the world. But as you come into the saving knowledge, you receive the Holy Spirit, and that's two words. You have holy, which means separate to God, set apart to and for God, especially and only. And so if you have a spirit dwelling within you that's set apart to God, now you can come against the spirit of disobedience that is, you know, ruling people that are of this world. But, yeah, apart from the Holy Spirit, you cannot stand against the demonic forces and the wiles of the enemy. So it's absolutely important.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I think we have Pastor Caesar on the line. Pastor Caesar, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Pastor Caesar, welcome to Can We Talk Radio for the first time. Now, Pastor Caesar, I met you last week for the very first time, and you told me some very amazing stories about your ministry and you ministering the gospel throughout South America. And Pastor Caesar, tonight's topic, we're talking about the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor Caesar, when we had talked last week, Sunday, you had mentioned to me that you had there was times when there were many attempts on your life where people fed you poison, where you had come against a lot of demonic possessed people. But because you were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you were able to withstand all these attacks and still preach the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout South America. So, Pastor Caesar, could you let us know how the Holy Spirit has been an instrumental tool in aiding you to minister the gospel throughout South America?
Yes. The experience that I have in Peru and this time that I was visiting in August, I have a battle because, you know, when you go to the places, you don't know what's going on, but you need to fill it up the Holy Ghost and praying and fasting. And the when I finished praying in one church, one man invited me to the dinner, to the house with other people, with another friend, but, you know, it's the man, he put poison in the food. You know, when you preach the word of God, the truth, the devil, they don't like it. But, you know, you need to prepare everything, every place that you go, because the Lord was telling you ministry. Yeah, I see the power of God because he prepared food. And when he prepared the food, you know, he can kill myself because, you know, the Holy Ghost is my life. I talk to him. I pray for him, and the Lord changed his life. But I need to power of God. Every time that you go every place, you need to power God and the Holy Ghost, you know, make the miracle and everything, the people, demons.
Absolutely. That's a powerful story, Pastor Caesar. I want to pass this question around to the panel. And this is my question is this, is why is the church so powerless, and why are they afraid of the Holy Spirit in today's church? I mean, I'm seeing Christians literally turning towards ghost stories, seances, psychics, looking for power outside of the living God. And I want to pass this around to the panel. I'll first start with you, Pam.
Well, first of all, some people are not able, they don't understand the Holy Spirit because they cannot see him. I think in one scripture in Matthew, when the baptism, when John the Baptist, I believe it was, or Jesus when he was baptized, and the dove ascended upon his head, he said he saw the Spirit of God descending. And that was one time that you could actually hear him say he saw the Spirit of God in the form of a dove. But today people don't gravitate to things that they can't see, so a lot of times they'll gravitate to things that where people performing magical, mystical, they're being drawn to those types of things. But I believe if you spend time with the Holy Spirit, what this Holy Spirit will do is transform. He'll transform and bring into us the spirit of wisdom and understanding and the spirit of might, which is the spirit power. And if just taking the time to get into spending time with the Holy Spirit, he'll start to manifest himself to you. Just like with a personal trainer, when the Holy Spirit, he kind of acts like a personal trainer. He's, you know, he's teaching you things to not do. Well, it's just like a trainer. He's telling you not to eat certain foods. If you want to build muscle and you want to lose fat, you have to do certain things. But the Holy Spirit becomes like a coach, and he trains you developing good habits so that you can, you know, move within the spirit realm, because the enemies of God know who God is, who God is with, and he knows who God is with, who he's not with. And I believe that the enemies, he fears the presence of the Holy Spirit that are in those. So he's always making attempts to cause distraction or bring people into your life that will try to get you off your focus. But the Holy Spirit gives us that dunamis power. It's called dunamis, and it's a power that we have living inside of us to, you know, cast out demons and sickness and addictions. And so I've learned personally from the infilling of the Holy Spirit that power has enabled me to identify and to discern when the attacks of the enemies are coming up against me. A lot of people are not able to identify because they're not spending time with God. They're not putting in study time. When you put in time studying and you put in time, personal time with him, then you can open yourself up for the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to train you and begin to teach you and begin to open up your understanding. And I know for me, when I started to, you know, spend more time with God, then I started, the Holy Spirit helped me to understand Scripture. You know, it helped me to get a better understanding of what the Scriptures are saying. Like in Acts, they were talking about Acts 17:28, he was talking about, for in him we live and move and have our being. And it's through the Holy Spirit that I've learned you know, I've been able to experience the closeness with God. It's like coming into oneness with Him. It's like I can understand when He's telling me something. I can understand when He's trying to show me something, whether it be while I'm in my sleep or while I'm just reading the Word. I can actually understand. The Holy Spirit has definitely given me insight. And one of the things that I'm learning too is that when He died, He said, "I'm going to send you the Comforter," and the Comforter came. I believe it was the day of Pentecost, beginning of the church age, is when the Holy Spirit came and filled us. But if we really look at the scriptures and what it's telling us, that when the tribulation period comes, the Comforter will not, well, He came in to fill the believers, but during that tribulation period, He will no longer reside in the believers like He is residing with us now. So it's very important that people really take this thing serious and get so acquainted with the Holy Spirit. I believe He is a personality, and that He does want to, you know, it's God showing us Himself and giving us knowledge and reverential fear and how to respect Him. But I believe that those that are not seeking the Holy Spirit and seeking God and getting that power that He wants to give us, so that we can operate when we're coming up against the enemy or the enemy's trying to destroy us, it's going to be really tough for those that are not filled with the Holy Spirit, that don't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's really going to be hard for them to stand, because I've been seeing the enemy manifest himself in different ways. I'm sure all of you have too. And if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my life right now, I don't know how I would be standing right now, professing to walk with God right now. I don't know how I would do it in the time that I'm living in right now, seeing how the enemy's coming against me on my job, just in my own household, you know, just with people that want to be acquainted. You have to have the Holy Spirit to discern who is who. And it's just a serious time right now.
Absolutely, that's an awesome point. Minister Edmonds, same question to you. Why do you think the church is so powerless? And why, I mean, I've met so many Christians that really, when you ask them what they feel with the Holy Spirit, they seem very scared and very unsure about even attempting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you have a comment about that?
Yes, I think that there are those who are within the church have not really given the type of earnest attention to the reality of the Holy Spirit. They are still wrestling when it comes down to the anthropos, the carnality of humanity, of themselves. Juxtapositioned with the things that are spiritual. I always say to someone, religion is man's effort to reach God. Christianity is God's attempt to reach man through Christ. And to understand the difference between that is the difference between going out of obligation to an edifice and or having a relationship even in the absence of an edifice. So in the church, we're talking about the church, the called out one, the ecclesia, there are those who have not, for some apparent reason, embraced the reality of the Holy Spirit. And so there's not a lot of emphasis placed upon the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And we as teachers, those of us who are teachers, we have to cause understanding. And that's what the church is for. That's what those whom God has placed in certain offices, that's why we're here, to cause understanding among God's people, our brethren. The Holy Spirit as it relates to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he prefaced that by saying, if you love me. And then he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter that may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it see him not. And that goes back to what my sister, daughter, was saying a few minutes ago when John saw the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus as a dove, in the form of a dove, or as a dove. And it was given to John to see that, because Jesus had said, God had said to John, upon whom you see this happen, and you see the Holy Spirit descend and remain upon, that one is the Messiah. So it was given to John to see it. But as the sister said, people cannot see the Holy Spirit. And so if he's out of sight, he's out of mind. And they don't place a lot of emphasis. Now, the second reason is, and I'll make this brief, is that the concept of the impact or the influence of the Holy Spirit varies hermeneutically with a lot of people who are in church. Some look at the impact or influence of the Holy Spirit as being that which would cause one to engage into emotionalism. And it has been promulgated that if someone doesn't act a certain way, or if they don't jump a certain way, or swing from the chandeliers, or dance a certain way, then they don't have the Holy Spirit. Also, what comes with that? Speaking in tongues. If someone doesn't, they don't have the Holy Spirit. And these things have to be made clear, and they have to be taught so that people have an understanding that goes beyond additional edicts that have been established. So I think that that's why some of the church is not really fully embracing the importance of the Holy Spirit, because they don't really know who he is and how he impacts our lives.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit, and I want to get to some phone lines here. We have a caller from the 213 area code. Hello, caller. Do you have a question or comment for the panel? Call from the 213 area code. Okay, I guess they won't listen in. We have another caller here from the 562 area code. Hello, caller. Do you have a question or comment for the panel? Okay, they're listening in too. All right, well, here's my next topic that I wanted to talk about. And, Ronnie, you and I have been doing some research about this, and I want to talk about the false Holy Spirit, and there's a spirit known as a Kundalini spirit or movement that is mimics the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's operating in a lot of churches. Ronnie, can you let us know briefly about this spirit and this move, and why it's so dangerous?
Well, it really touches along the lines as what Minister Jay was talking about, that if you don't perform, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And so that mindset has opened the door to accepting a false Holy Spirit, because it allows you to perform. And so, you know, there's a lot of movements that, you know, people can go online and look up some of these movements that are happening in churches, but they are not necessarily the set-apart Spirit of God operating through his people. And these are, you know, deceiving spirits that cause people to speak in unknown languages, that cause people to convulse, that cause people to be taken over, you know, just from appearance, it looks like they've been taken over by a spiritual force, and they equate that to the spirit of truth when they do not test the spirit. And you can test the spirit by lining it up with your scripture. And so this false spirit has been allowed to probably take over many denominations because nobody is going back to the scriptures to see, is that what God actually said about the Holy Spirit? God says that the Holy Spirit will testify of the Savior. And so you have to really look in the mirror and examine yourself to see that you're in the faith by saying, is what I accepted as the Holy Spirit really testifying about the Savior? It says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Was me convulsing and rolling around with no change in my life, literally, does that guide me into any sort of truth? And so for the lack of testing everything, like the Bereans, who made sure that anything that was being said or anything that was going forth could be found in the scriptures, instead of doing that, a lot of people are just settling for the emotionalism, and this is where the enemy has found a seat in a lot of churches and a lot of faithful believers' lives, people who, you know, honestly have their guards down and their hearts open and they want to please God, but they haven't taken the step to test the spirit by the word of God. And so, you know, you might have had an experience and you considered the Holy Spirit because everyone around you is saying it's the Holy Spirit, but you never asked the Bible, you never asked God what are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. It's a helper that will abide in me. It's not a force that I summon up on one day a week that's in tune with the music and the ambiance and emotionalism and guilt and disobedience. And so I cry out and I consider myself as having the Holy Spirit. Well, when you do that, you make room for seducing spirits and deceptive spirits to come in and you know, occupy your time and have you actually blaspheming the Holy Spirit by calling something that's not God, God. And so Kundalini is just a name, but what it actually is, it's just deceiving, seducing spirits that have been imposed on people. Like Minister Jay said, you tell somebody that you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you're rolling around on the ground, they want to please God, they're going to roll around on the ground. If you tell someone you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you tell someone that who wants to please God, they'll find a way to speak in some unknown tongue. But the thing is, you have to try these things that you do and find them in the Bible. You know, according to the scripture, if you're meeting with people, this is how you know if it's the Holy Spirit. If you're in a place where the whole crowd is speaking in tongues, they're out of order, because the Bible says, have no more than three people speak in unknown languages, and make sure there's an interpreter. So if you're speaking an unknown language in a room full of people with no interpreter, know that according to Scripture, you're out of order, and you're probably not in God's will, because God is a God of order. And so the Scripture is clear about, if you don't have an interpreter, speak. Be silent in the meeting and speak in tongues on your own time. And so the Holy Spirit wouldn't lead you to go against the scripture. And so just these little things are where things like Kundalini can creep up and have a seat in the body of Christ, because people are not testing these things that they do by the scripture. And so that's just one incident. But, seducing spirits come in when the lack of knowledge is found.
Absolutely, that's an awesome point. Now, this question is for Pastor Caesar. Hold on, I'm sorry, Pam. You want to make a comment?
No, I was just going to comment on the speaking of the tongues, because I've seen some of the reaction and movements to the Kundalini, and it is a little bit to the extreme. I mean, with the images of the elephant and the shaking of the head and all that that convulsing stuff. I've seen that. But from my understanding with the Holy Spirit, now if a person, if people or persons are praying in an unknown tongue, and not everybody will have that gift. There are some that may not have that gift. But God has gifts for different gifts for different ministries to go forth out of different each and every one of us. But if I'm speaking to a person in the gift of the speaking of tongues, yes, there should be an interpreter or interpretation given to that person. But if I'm speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit to the Father with the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit working through me, and you walk in the room while I'm doing that, there's nothing that does not equate to it not being out of order, because you do have times where people are in, you know, speaking to God and praying in the Spirit. And like I said, if you walk in the room while I'm doing that, then there's no need for interpretation, because that's between me and God. There's a spiritual connection going on with me and him. But again, if I'm speaking to you directly in the gift of speaking in tongues, then yes, I should have the gift, or I should have prayed for the gift for God to give me the interpretation for that person. So it is possible that the Holy Spirit could be moving, because he says, like fire, Jeremiah says, like fire set up in my bones. So sometimes you will see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You will see it. The enemy will try to copy that, and he will try to emulate that and mimic that through a false god, through Kundalini. But the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in individuals who have yielded themselves to the power of God moving in their life. And that's just my comment on that, because I understand the power and the move of the Holy Spirit that's working in me. And I can identify that it's not of a Kundalini spirit. It is of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, because I that's just my personal experience with him. That, you know, that's just my comment.
Absolutely, Pam. Absolutely, Minister Evans. What do you have to say? What's your comment, take on the order of interpreting tongues and the gifts of speaking in tongues in the church, and when you're praying in heavenly language to directly to the Father?
Well, personally, I agree 100% with what my sister daughter has said there, because the letter to Corinth was dealing specifically with those who are out of order, as they wanted to teach or prophesy in tongues, in an unknown tongue. The word tongue is a Greek word glossa, and it means language. And you had some that were speaking in another language things pertaining to God, and they were speaking to the congregants, and you had several speaking at the same time. And unless there was someone, number one, there to interpret, then of course the entire body would not be edified. But if there were someone there who could interpret to the entire body, then they would be edified. The second thing is, we can pray in the Spirit. And what this means is simply this. As the Apostle Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What happens is this. When we're talking about tongue, and that's a broad subject, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul starts out by saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and or angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, what is important about that statement, he said tongues of men or tongues of angels. So that means we know that there's a language that is being spoken in heaven. Now, if I wanted to speak German, there's only two ways that I could speak it. Either I go to Germany and learn it, or someone comes from Germany and teaches it to me. If I wanted to speak the language that the angels speak in heaven,
the heavenly language. There are only two ways that I can do that. Either go to heaven and learn it, or someone, the Holy Spirit, comes from heaven and teaches it to me. Now, if I'm speaking to God, that's between me and God in a sanctuary or privately, and I'm speaking in that language, then that's my prayer to him. I'm not trying to edify anyone else around me. That's between me and God. But if I'm in a church setting where I'm trying to teach people and I am speaking in an unknown tongue to them, they don't understand it. And unless there's someone to interpret, there was going to be confusion. Now, having said that, my brother was mentioning the false and seducing spirits, which is so true, and I'm so glad he mentioned that, because emotionalism has to be distinguished from the sincere move of the Holy Spirit, and there are counterfeits. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think everyone should really pay special attention to this. The Apostle Paul stated in verse 12, he says, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." The 13th verse, he says this, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Then the 14th verse, he says, "And no wonder, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." 15th verse, he says, "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So Satan cloaks himself along with those who are of his camp to be as ministers and even practitioners of God. It is not that they don't believe, because the demons believe and tremble. They just won't serve him. But they will inject into the church false reactions and false hermeneutical leanings toward what the Holy Spirit is. And we have to also understand that when we're dealing with seducing spirits and counterfeit cunning, when we're dealing with that, we have to understand that that is demonic. And it leans toward the same mysticism that was in the world even in the time of Moses. When God sent Moses to Egypt with a rod in his hand so that his people could be let free upon him demonstrating the power of God, he threw that rod down. It turned into a snake. But also there were magicians that majored in mysticism and the dark arts. They threw their rods down too, and they did turn into snakes as well. So it's no marvel that there is a counterfeit inducement to have certain people react emotionally and have the line blurred between the reality of the Holy Ghost and actually that which is being promulgated in imagery. So we have to be very careful about that. And there again, it comes down to teaching and really expounding on these types of subjects that you're discussing tonight, which I applaud you for this. I applaud all of you all for having these very candid conversations. And this is the type of information and discussion that needs to go on in the church that is missing so badly. because it will only elevate one's understanding about not only who God is, but why he came. He did not die. He did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive, to wake up and see things the way that Christ sees them. And so I really applaud you all for these very, very insightful leanings and informational tenets that are coming forward. The church sorely needs this, very badly.
Absolutely. Thanks for that compliment, Minister Evans. This question is to Pastor Caesar. Now, Pastor Caesar, would you say there's a difference in the move of the Holy Spirit and here in the United States versus when you go out to minister the word in South America? Are you seeing a difference? Are people more hungry in South America for the move of the Holy Spirit? How are you seeing this?
I see that people in South America and Central America to hungry a lot. That's what the Lord sending me to there, because you know, I growing in prayer all my life. When I started, I remember I go to the first time to the prayer. One old lady told me, "You need to learn prayer. You need to start it." You know, when I started for 8 hours prayer. You know, because I have hungry to serve him to the Lord. Now I see what the Lord prepared my life before, you know, to go to there, because I see the people, they have more hungry. I don't know, because I think it's the people need, they don't have a lot of things we have in here in the United States. But, you know, that's why I see the difference. You need to teach to the people that need more to, you know, for the Holy Ghost, more for the spiritual thing, because the time is the hardest time in the United States. That's why I teach into my church to you know, to fill it up the Holy Ghost, to know, to pray, to tell the Lord, "Lord, fill it up my life," because, you know, when you go to another place, you see the people need it.
Absolutely. Now, we mentioned earlier on in the show today that it was very important to be able to discern spirits. And Dr. J, could you tell us how vital it is, especially in these last days we're living in, that how we really need the ability to be able to discern spirits through the power of the Holy Spirit?
It is so vitally important, because there are two camps. There is the kingdom of darkness, with Satan as its leader, and there's the kingdom of God. Now, these two are the positioning places for humanity to, of their own volition, make a decision to join, to become a part of. One, it is willingly, because God does not tamper with our will, so we must serve him willingly. And we have been, those of us who have been predestinated, when the call go out, we will hear the call. And so we become part of his kingdom as subjects. The other, you can go there of your own will or unwittingly, and that's the kingdom of darkness. There is a battle that has been taking place and now is becoming more and more prominent, more pronounced. The tactics by the enemy are just unscrupulous, and it is important to have the Spirit of God to be able to discern and know the wiles and the tactics and the craftiness and the plans and schemes and plots of the wicked one, so that we ourselves not only prevent others from falling into the trap, but ourselves as well positioning for battle. And so it is important in these end times. When you ask Pastor Caesar about the Holy Spirit being in certain places around the globe more so than in others, I go to India and I go to Africa, South Africa, and I can tell you that the people are so hungry that there is an expectation for God to move. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. The scripture says, if we ask God for anything, we know that he will grant it to us, but how much more will he grant us the Holy Spirit if we will ask him for him? There has to be an expectation. There has to be an expectation of what God is doing through the Holy Spirit. And there has to be an excitement about this battle, because there is no discharge in this war, none whatsoever.
Absolutely. Pam, same question to you.
Can you just kind of elaborate a little bit when you're talking about the Holy Spirit doing, could you just repeat it again?
We were talking about the importance of the gift of discerning of spirits, especially in these last days we're in, why it's so important to have that ability. And Minister Evans just briefly touched upon that, and wanted to see if you had anything to add to that point.
No, I totally 100% agree. With the times that we're living in, everywhere I look, I see, especially even if I'm just watching CNN, a commercial come up with these new movies that are coming out, like the games, all this stuff, Hunger Games, and they were singing this famous song, This Girl Is on Fire, and they showed the phoenix. I mean, you're seeing manifestation of evil, of Satan, letting people know that he's got a plan. And it's so serious now that if people don't start getting in tune to really what's going on, they're going to be lost and caught up and deceived in it. And that's why what we're doing and studying the Book of Revelation with Dr. D's class, and, you know, and then even a lot of stuff that I learned in the School of Ministry with Minister J. Emmons, he taught us about the Ruach and the Holy Spirit. When he mentioned that, I was thinking about what I had, you know, the things that he had taught us about the Ruach, how God blew the Ruach, the breath, into Adam, and how the Holy Spirit helps us. I'm at the point now in my life where I'm seeking God every day. I'm praying without ceasing. I mean, I'm constantly looking for God to manifest himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, just in every little thing that I do, whether it be just in making a decision, whether I go this way to work today, how do I respond to this person at work today, my footsteps. I'm constantly seeking the Holy Spirit to give me direction, speak to me, talk to me. I went to sleep, and I dreamt I saw fire coming down from heaven, like missiles or something. So the Holy Spirit is working to get our attention. He's moving to get our attention right now, and I'm like one of those people that's just staying so in tune to it that I have to control myself, because sometimes I get real excited with the things I'm learning, the things that he's showing me that I want to share with everybody. And I'm learning that everybody doesn't have an ear to hear. Revelation says, blessed are those that read, hear, and do. And for those of us that are really seeking the place of God, we want to share it with everybody. But I understand there's a time and place for everything. And, you know, I would love for people to want to sit down and talk with me about it so I can share what I've learned. But a lot of people are turning a deaf ear. I've heard one girl said, I'm a conspiracist at work, because I'm trying to share, you know, when the Holy Spirit, when I feel it's safe to do it, you know, I'm trying to get people to know that this is a serious time right now. You really need to know what's about to come. And so I'm just excited. And, you know, I really would like to learn as much as I can and allow God to give me more knowledge on how to explain him to other people so they can take the time to be still with it. Because I really see what's happening in the world today. I see the powers of darkness manifesting. I've even seen it manifest itself through people you wouldn't even think. You know, comments would come across from people who you wouldn't even, you know, think that it would come forth. But it's just a distraction, just a trick of the enemy to try to get you off your course, to get you to respond, to get you, you know, distracted. And so we are living in some very, very serious times. And this is just a time right now to pray without ceasing and just pray before the Lord diligently.
Absolutely. Pastor Caesar, same question to you, Pastor Caesar, about the gifts of discerning of spirits. What's your take on this, sir?
Hello?
Hey, Pastor.
Yes. No,
yeah.
I hear everything, you know, they say the truth. Yeah, the experience that I have, you know, in this time, in this year, we speaking from the Romans chapter 8, verse 1, to walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you can go sincere to God. You know, you serve more with You know, you walk in prayer and obedience, and the Lord moved, give that discernment to see the everything that you see the people don't know. You know, that's why. But I see a lot of miracles in this time. In this last week, I see one miracle, two, the one just ladies and the floor like a snake moving. You know, when you have the discernment, you have prayer, and you have fasting, you have the word of God in your life, the Holy Spirit is moving. You know, they give us authority. That's why I see the spirit in my life to see the miracles.
Absolutely. So, Pastor Caesar, when you were ministering, you said that you saw a woman moving around the floor like a snake?
Yes. That's 2 weeks ago. You know, I see the lady, you know, a lot of four people, they take him by hand and the foot, and they don't do nothing because, you know, you need to have the Holy Ghost and you need to have nothing in your life. That's why you need to walk in the Spirit. The people, you know, the people in this time, they lost. They only have word, but they don't have anointing. That's what they need to look in this time. The anointing from the Holy Ghost, because the anointing, you know, when you pray for the people, you see the success and miracles, you see a liberation and the people. That's why I see that this young lady, you know, is free. When I pray for her, you know, the lady accept Jesus or reconciled. She need to the Lord.
Wow, absolutely. Dr. J, is it possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yes, it's very possible, and we all have done it. Let me speak for myself. I have grieved him, and I had to come back and say, please forgive me for grieving you. We grieve him by saying or doing things that are inconsistent with his counsel to us. We grieve him by our continuation in a specific thing that we know that is inconsistent with his counsel. And at the same time, he convicts us so that we recognize that we are grieving him and we can amend that through our repentance and through our adjustment in our actions and in our thought process so that we can lean toward receiving his counsel and acting on his counsel. We can grieve him, yes. And at the same time, while grieving him, we can quench him. And it's ironic that we can grieve him by quenching him. In other words, if he instructs us to do something at a certain time or
allow him to speak through us at a certain time or to a specific person, and we fail to do that, we have quenched him. In other words, we've stifled or bottled up what he wants to do and say through us. And that grieves him as well. So we have to be very sensitive to him because he is the mind, voice, and power of God. He is that force. He is actually God living in us. And for us to be effective and for us to operate within the anointing, as Pastor Caesar says, because the word anoint comes from the Greek word krio, which means rubbed by the Divine One. And for us to be rubbed by the Divine One so that we can begin to function in that way, we have to allow him to permeate every part of our being. And we have to obey him, follow his directions. So, yes, we can quench the Holy Spirit, but we can make him happy, too. Because when we obey him, joy wells up in him, and we feel that same joy as a result of it welling up in him. It wells up in us, too. And that gives us strength. That's how we get our strength. Strength comes from obedience. And because when we obey, we feel a sense of joy because he's happy, and so the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's how we get receive that.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're coming to the end of the show, and I want to thank the panel for coming on the show, and I want to ask Dr. J, do you have any closing comments, and what do you think of today's topic?
Well, I would have this, and I'll make it very brief. I think that this particular topic is a very important topic, and at the risk of sounding redundant, we have to make sure that we allow our spiritual metamorphosis to take place by receiving the counsel, the comfort, and the truth from the Holy Spirit. And make no mistake about it. Those who do not have the Spirit of God are not his. The Scripture is very clear about that. But God has made himself available to everyone through Christ Jesus. And that's how we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not come until Christ died and had arisen from the grave. Then we received him. In times before, it was the Spirit of God that acted upon men, and men were moved by the Spirit. But now he lives in us. And it's very important for us to understand that we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit, nothing at all. And for those who are listening, I would encourage you to consider this, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world, and he was received up in glory. Why Jesus? Because he's the Christ. That means he was rubbed by the Divine One. He's the Messiah. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised from the dead. Buddha died, his bones are still in the grave. Muhammad died, assalamu alaikum, his bones are still in the grave. Vishnu, his bones are still in the grave. But Jesus died, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, he was raised up out of the grave. By that same power, he will raise us up at the last day. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Dr. J, it's a pleasure having you on Can We Talk, and hopefully you will come on the show another time. And Pam, what's your closing comments, and what do you think of today's show?
I would just say that demons fear prayer, and that, you know, believers that have no spiritual covering, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb. So I would encourage everyone that's listening to also that obedience opens the door to authority. Obedience, the submission to the Holy Spirit will give you power over the principalities and the rulers of darkness. If you can sense in the air, they rule over the state of disobedience. But I believe that when we submit to spiritual authority, then we'll have power. The Holy Spirit will be able to take control and show us how to stand in the midst of all this evil that's around us and how to be strong and pursue God to the fullest.
Absolutely. Pastor Caesar, same question to you, sir. Thanks for coming on Can We Talk. Do you have any closing comments, also in English and in Spanish, if you don't mind?
Okay, another thing, why the Holy Spirit moving is because you love the people, you love the soul. You know, the Lord say you need to go to fishing. You know, that's why I go to all the different places, because I love the people. You know, I love the people to come to Jesus. I love the God make miracles. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have a lot of love. That's why there's a passion for the people, the hungry. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak this word on the radio. I appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor. Thanks for coming on Can We Talk. Well, guys, it's I guess we lost Ronnie, but it's time to bring the show to a close. And here's my closing comments. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we're being transformed into likeness of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. When a person becomes born again, he is sanctified or set apart for God. This happens only once, but sanctification is also a daily process for the rest of one's life. To achieve this work, the Holy Spirit has to indwell the believer, and that can be found in Romans 8:11, and works in their lives to produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's in Galatians 5:22-23. And this is why it's so important as Christians to realize the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives in every area. We have to submit every area of our lives, of our minds, our thinking, our desires, our cravings, all those things to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to be truly effective and to truly reflect the character of Christ here on this earth. And guys, these are my closing comments. Please tune in same time next week to Can We Talk Radio. My name is Raz Williams, your host, and next week we're going to have another good show. So, guys, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.